Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Sister Betty, Sister Meredith. Well, I want to talk to you about a subject tonight that I hope will be a help to you. I want to talk to you about the ministry of restoration. Now, I don't think that many Christians have a hard time believing and participating in the ministry that God has given us called the ministry of reconciliation. Now, there is a ministry of reconciliation. That's where we have been called upon, where the love of Christ constrains us to go out and we are to carry out the ministry of the gospel by sowing the seed of the gospel that would bring lost men to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they could have their sin forgiven and be reconciled back to God for salvation. That's the ministry of reconciliation. But here, the Bible talks about another ministry, a ministry of restoration. This is not going after the lost. This is going after the saved. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. What do you mean going after the saved? Well, saved people stray. Yeah. Not me. Well, maybe not yet. You may. You certainly are apt to. Amen? I would never do that, preacher. Well, you might ought to study the life of Peter. Amen. He said he would never do it. He said, though all of these shall leave thee, he said, I'll never leave thee. Well, he did. And there may be someone here thinking, well, you know what? I would never do that. Well, I pray that you don't. But now you're apt to. Sheep do stray. That's right. And we have a ministry. And God's called us to a ministry. The ministry of restoring the broken brother. Restoring people who have been overtaken in a fault. Going to them and ministering to them and helping them to find their way back to the place of usefulness in God's service. See, when we restore people, brethren, we don't just restore them back to the church. Now, I do believe that that's part of the ministry of restoration. But we want to restore people back, number one, to a right standing before God in fellowship with the Lord. Amen. That comes through repentance and forgiveness of sin. And then we want to restore them back in the right relationship to their church family. But then we want to restore them ultimately to a place of usefulness to where God can use them again. Amen. Amen. That's right. God has a purpose for every born-again child of God. The ministry of restoration. Can I ask you a question before we get started and dig into the scripture here? I want you just to think. Don't raise your hand. Don't speak out. Just think to yourself. I'm going to ask you some searching and some probing questions. All right? Number one, are you a soul winner? So I'm a soul winner. Well, how many people have you won? So I'm a mechanic. How many cars have you fixed? Right? You sure you're a mechanic? I'm a soul winner. You winning souls? You going after people? Are you? I'm glad if you are now. How many saved people have you restored back to the faith? How many broken brothers have you gone and bound up their wounds and mending them? Set them on the beast and took them back to the inn like that good Samaritan. How many Christians that have fallen? Well, maybe I should back up and ask this question first. How many people do you know that at one time in their Christian experience was on fire for God, serving God? Listen to me now. Maybe a deacon. Maybe even a preacher. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Maybe sang in the choir. Maybe sang specials in church. Maybe they were out soul winning and they were on fire for God. They were serving the Lord and now, listen, they're not even in church. Maybe they're out in the world. I don't know. I think all of us know some individuals that way. It can happen. It can happen to people in your family. It can happen to people in your church family. It can happen to people that you know, that you work with in your neighborhood. Saved people can stray. Not saying they should. I'm just saying we do. How do you act toward people who stray? I knew it was going to happen. I knew they was going to eventually get out. Do you get on the hotline and see how many people you can tell about the sin that they've fallen into? You really think that's going to help a broken brother? You really think that's going to help a Christian that's been overtaken? You think that's really going to help somebody that's going through possibly the most difficult time in their life, and their family is struggling and hurting, and all we can offer them is criticism and critique and spreading it like a rumor through the community and through the church? That's not what helps broken brothers. That's not what helps Christians that have been overtaken in a fault. I want to help you help somebody. I want us all to be reminded that this ministry of restoration, could you imagine? And again, I want you to think within your own mind and in your heart, how many people you know that at one time you say, I believe they're saved, preacher. I believe they're saved. I mean, there was evidence of salvation. They had a fire in their heart. They were serving the Lord. Now they're out of church. Maybe they've been out of church a month. Maybe they're in church. But they're just going through the motions. See, you don't have to be out of church to be backslid. You don't have to be out of church to be broken. Right? See, when I read this, I just want you to know in Galatians chapter number 6, look at it, brethren, if any of you be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Didn't say he was out of church. You can get involved in restoring ministry in the church. Yes. Could you imagine what would happen in our churches and our communities if God's people got involved in this ministry of restoration and started going after saints as well as sinners? Hey, I'm all for going for sinners now. Don't misunderstand me. Go after the sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. We ought to go after them. Amen. But can I tell you, Jesus is a friend of the fallen too. Amen. And we need to go after them. Who's going to go after the fallen brother? Who's going to help that person that has lost his way or maybe been blindsided, overtaken by a fault? Maybe their family is struggling and they're hurting. They're going through a time of difficulty or sorrow or loneliness. Who's going to help them? Well, the Bible says that there's a group of people that need to help them. Perhaps there'll be some restorers in our congregation tonight. Only you can determine that. You see, this ministry of restoration is a little different than the ministry of reconciliation in that the ministry of reconciliation, as far as I can tell, as I study the scripture, is for every born-again child of God. Everyone that has a testimony ought to share their testimony with people that are unsaved so that their testimony can lead them and helping them to know that they have a need of Christ. Every born-again child of God, if you're saved in the grace of God, every Christian ought to be a part of the ministry of reconciliation. However, the Bible doesn't say that about the ministry of restoration. There's a particular group of people that need to be involved in this ministry. As a matter of fact, there's some people that need not as they are in their life right now, and I'm not your judge. I don't know. I have no one in mind when I say this, but I have met folks that I hope to God that if I ever fall, God, please, God, keep me from falling. But if I ever fall, help me not to fall in front of them. Amen. Help me not to fall in their company. They'll take me on out. Amen. I don't want to be, listen, when people fall, they ought not run from the church, they ought to run to it. If we would create that kind of environment of love and that kind of environment of restoration and that kind of environment of help, we want to minister to people and help people find their way back to God. Could you imagine what could happen in our churches and in our communities? One of the first places that people want to get away from, far away from, is the church when they fall. You know why? Many of our churches, and I'm not saying all of them, I'm just saying many of our churches have turned into Pharisees. Houses of Pharisees, that when someone falls, you don't want to fall around them. Like I said, they'll take you on out. They shoot their wounded. Brother, the Bible hasn't told us to shoot our wounded. Hasn't even called us to critique them or criticize them or lecture them. Amen. Now, some of those that's not for the, not ready for the ministry of restoration, I'm losing you about right now. Amen. See, not everyone can get involved in this ministry. The Bible says right here that there's a specific group of people that need to get involved in the ministry of restoration. And it's not people who's going to kick the wounded or leave them there and say, well, you know what? You got yourself into this mess. Get yourself out of it. You need to stay out of the ministry of restoration. But the Bible says here, look at it. Number one, brethren. It's got to be a saved person. So if you're going to be involved in the ministry of restoration, you need to be saved yourself. Number two, I find this, if a man be overtaken, it could happen to any person. There's really no definition, there's no definitive defining aspects of a man that could fall or be overtaken. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn, hold your place here, if you'll turn back to James just for a moment, James chapter 5, it deals with this same situation. Turn there if you would in James chapter 5. It deals with this, and it says that people that are going to get involved, James chapter 5, hold your place, we're coming right back to Galatians, but I must show you this. If you'll look in verse number 13 of James chapter 5, the scripture begins to talk about one of the main ingredients that's needed in this ministry of restoration. Verse number 13, see if you find a reoccurring theme. See if you find a point of emphasis in these verses of Scripture. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to read just certain scriptures. Look at verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer, verse 16, the latter part, of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, verse 17, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the earth gave rain. What's the point of emphasis here? Prayer. So you got to be prayed up if you're going to help restore some people. You can't do this kind of work in the head. This is a heart work. This is not a head work. You can't just have a knowledge of knowing about sin or knowing about what happened with a person. You've got to get in contact with God. You've got to get a heart for the hurting, for those in sorrow. You've got to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. You've got to get a hold of God and say, God, I want the heart of Christ in this matter. I want to go after them like you came after me. Amen. God, I'm glad when I was down, you didn't leave me down and leave me to myself. I'm glad, God, you came after me. Now help me to go after them. God, I want to look at them as if I don't go after them, no one else would. I'm going after them, amen. I'm going after them, amen. Amen. The Bible says here, look at verse number 19 of James chapter 5, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, now see, this is how you get off track right here. Now Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. When you err from Jesus, there's only one thing that can happen. If any of you err from the truth, look at verse number 20. The Bible says right in the middle of that verse, it says, well, let's just read verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way. When you err from the truth, your way is going to be errant. You say, well, that's talking about sinners. Well, I don't think so. Look at it again, verse number 19. Brethren, if any of you err from the truth, and one convert him. That word convert, it is, listen, you begin to search out the root of that word, it comes from the same word we get, repentance. It means to turn. Remember when Peter said, oh, Lord, though they all would forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee. He said, Peter, and I'm paraphrasing, let me tell you something. He said, Simon, Simon, he said, the devil Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee. He said, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted. Here's our word right here. When thou art converted, he said. Right? When you turn, when you repent, when you get it right. And I'm glad that Jesus didn't leave Peter on his own. He sought him out down there by the sea, and he went to him, and he said, Simon, son of Jonas. He said, lovest thou me?
Amen.
Do you love me? I mean, he just worked with him very patiently and lovingly and affectionately, the way I ought to work with my fallen brother, the way you ought to work with your fallen brother. You say, well, preacher, sometimes it can be very aggravating. It can be very testing and trying. Well, I know that. But you know what? If I'm just honest with myself, I can be that way myself. How about you? So as we go back, I want to give you some things I hope will help you. Now, I don't know why God laid this message on my heart. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, this is a time, I was thinking about the man, actually, who I was reading about the man of Gadara. That maniac, that man that was filled with a legion of devils. You know what I'm speaking of? And after he got saved, Jesus told him, he said, I want you to go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And I thought about Christmas. I thought about how that we come across people and that we don't see maybe once a year, maybe twice a year. We just don't, you know, our extended family and friends at Christmas time. And we ought to be telling them what great things the Lord hath done for us. And then I thought, you know, not everyone that we may run across at Christmas will be lost. Maybe that we have family members that have been saved and at one time they served the Lord and now they've gotten cold and indifferent. We need to reach out to them. Be very easy to snub your nose and turn your nose up at them and say, well, you know, they're not where I'm at. They're not on my level. And I'm just going to just kind of look down on them and criticize them. Listen, God's not going to be pleased with that. Now, it'd be very easy to do that. Somebody say amen right there. It'd be very easy to do that. But that's not what God wants. Are you a restorer? How many people have you restored to the faith? Are you spiritual? Let's see. See, this thing of restoring people is for the spiritual. You'll not get involved in this ministry in case you're spiritual. God won't use you to restore people if you're not spiritual. That's what the book says, brethren. You're back in Galatians chapter 6. You say, well, I have, you know, I am spiritual. Well, now, you just take that up with God. I'm telling you what the book says right here. I've been saved for 40 years. How many people you restored? You sure you're spiritual? Because the Bible says right here that the spiritual, I mean, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Spiritual Christians are involved in the ministry of restoration. Amen. I don't like this preacher. Well, like I said, well, I'm going to preach it anyway, but you need to take that up with the Lord. Amen. It's God's word.
Amen.
Why can't we just kick them when they're down? Because God said, that's not what I want you to do. Why can't we just criticize them? It feels good. Makes me feel better when I'm running them down, preacher. Yeah. Now we're getting to why you're not spiritual. Because you think spiritual is making other people come down as low as you are. That's not the way you become spiritual. Spiritual is you getting up to God's level, not getting down to their level. Or trying to get, amen. Or trying to get them down to yours. So the Bible says, you which are spiritual, restore such one. Now watch this. If you're spiritual. Now the Bible has a lot to say about spiritual Christians. Right? Well, let me show you just a couple of verses and then I'll give you a few truths here and I'll be done tonight. Romans chapter 14. Would you turn there? Romans chapter 14. I'm talking about restoring people, brethren. Restoring people. If there's any Pharisees in the house, just hold on. I'll be done in about 30 minutes. If there's any tuned in by a live stream, this might be where you click off. I don't know. People don't listen. Pharisees don't like preaching like this. They just don't. Pharisees are not for the ministry of restoration. Pharisees are not far. As a matter of fact, that's why Jesus was hard on them Pharisees. Somebody say amen with me. I said, hey, Jesus was hard on those Pharisees. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus would get down at the level of the blind, the halt, the maimed, the hurting. He would get down with them and he would minister to them. But those Pharisees, he said, oh, you're a generation of vipers. You're full of dead men's bones. You're whited sepulchers. Your religion has kept you from caring about the souls of men. You're not only going in, you're trying to block the way of others to come in. Right? That's why Pharisees, when they hear preaching like this, boy, I mean, they get all antsy. And, ooh, yeah. That's right. That self-righteous Pharisaical spirit doesn't like the fact that God wants you to get involved in helping the lowly. Romans chapter 14, if you'll look there. So I'm not going to look there. Well, that's okay. Those of you who are spiritual and want to be spiritual, Romans 14, verse number 1, the scripture says this, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one man believeth that he may eat all things, and another is weak, well, he eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Right? He said, listen, if you're spiritual, he said, you're not going to be disputing with people over differences of preferences that you may have. Somebody say amen with me. And you're not going to set yourself up to be, you know, a certain way because of a different preference, not biblical conviction, preference that you may have that they don't have. Then he said in chapter 15, look at this, in chapter 15, in verse number 1 of Romans, he said, we then that are strong, I'd say that would be good for spiritual, amen? Amen. Strong Christians, that's what he said. We then, Paul said, we. I think Paul was a good spiritual Christian. Amen. I do. We then, he said, that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. What's he saying? Listen, it'd be easy to walk away from the broken brother. It'd be easy to turn your back on him and go on your way. It'd be easy. But sometimes we do the hard thing. We confront our brother. Right? Hey, it's not this ministry I speak to you about, it's not all rosy and sweet and warm and fuzzy. It's difficult. It's difficult to go to a brother and say, brother, you're off course. But I'm here because I love you. And I want to help you. We need to talk. Let me help you. Let me help you. So that God won't judge you. Let me help you. You got to get involved in people's lives, brethren. You have to confront some things. Right? You have to say the hard stuff. God hasn't called a bunch of softies. God wants you and I to have backbones. But now listen, you can speak the truth. I'm not through. In love. Amen. You pray like we read in James enough, and you see your brother, your sister in need, hurting, slipping, drifting, wondering, and God will break your heart for him. And when you go to them, you won't be mad. You'll be sad. Your heart will be broken. Tears will run down your face. And they'll see that you love them, and they'll see that you care, and they'll open their heart to you. But when we go with this Pharisaical spirit and this condescending and this condemning spirit and this spirit of judgment, they're not going to open up to that. Right? You say, well, I think it'll work, preacher. Well, I've never seen it work. You see, one day the shoe may be on the other foot. As we go back, I'll close here in Galatians. I'm going to preach on this for a while. So I'm just laying a little bit of a groundwork. I believe that God wants us to get more involved in the spirit of restoration, the ministry of restoration. It's a missing ministry in our churches today. You say, preacher, you believe in church discipline? Sure do. I've had to exercise it. But that's not the first option. Restoration is. Somebody say amen with me now. I'm telling you what the book teaches. You go to a person, if you can reconcile with them, if you can restore with them, then amen, God's good with it. If you can't, you carry somebody with you that by the mouth of two witnesses it may be established. And then, if you can't, well, now it's time to think about some church discipline. Is that what the book says? That's in this book right here. But somehow we've just leapfrogged over that for those first two steps and we go straight, church them! Amen, church them! Get them out of here! That's not God's way. See, that's Romans 15, 1, that latter part. That's wanting to please yourself. Well, they might be hollering out, church you one day. See, then what would it feel like? For your family to have to go through that. For you to have to be subjected to that. You say, well, I shouldn't be in sin. Well, none of us should be. But you who was without sin this past week, stand to your feet and let's give you a round of applause. I'm not being smart mouth. I'm not being smart aleck. Brother, I'm just up to here with this stuff. We got any here without sin today? All right then. Then I think we might all take a little bit of a different approach to people who have fallen on hard times and who've strayed, and let's try to restore them. I'm not saying compromise your conviction. I'm not saying sweep their sin under the rug. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying do the hard thing. Confront their sin. Go to them. Don't talk to somebody else about it. Talk to them about it. Amen. What in the world is talking to me about his sin going to do for him? See, that's a coward's way out. A coward to talk behind your back. Amen. A coward to a coward to talk about this man behind his back to me all day long if I let him. That's a coward. A strong man, Romans 15, 1. A strong man will go to him and say, brother, we need to talk. I'm seeing some things here, and I don't know. I'm seeing some patterns that I'm not liking, and I think we might ought to talk about this. I see you getting out of line here according to the scriptures. Is what I'm seeing so? Can we talk about it? Can we pray? Can we open the Bible and get some scripture out? Amen. Amen. I love you, brother, and I care about your family. Hey, and it may even go, you may have to go some places you might not want to go. I've been in some really dark places, Brother Scott, chasing some saints. You thought I was going to say sinners, didn't you? I've chased them in some dark places too. See, this thing of being involved in ministry, it's not all about shiny shoes and red ties and standing behind a pulpit. Sometimes you have to get down into the dark back alley places to find some of these people. That's right. It'll take you there. If you're going to help people now, you're going to have to get down on a different level. Galatians 6, let's close there, okay? So, preacher, what can I do? Well, the first thing that you can do in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, then you can restore them in the spirit of meekness. That means be gentle. So that's the first thing I want you to write down, okay? Gently. Gently. I'll never forget, this actually happened. This is going to sound like that this didn't happen, but I'm telling you right now, I was there, it happened. So I'm working with a man. And now this is not dealing with a Christian, but this is some people's mindset. So I'm working with a man. He and I were in Bible college together, and we were working on a job together, and we were talking about witnessing to people. And we went to the maintenance man, and we had to be shown around. Was at a hospital system. We get on the elevator, and this fella, he reached in his pocket and said, I'd like to tell you about Jesus, if you'd allow me to. He said, I once was an old run-down, rotten sinner like you. I said, well, I called time out. I said, "Oh, nah." Now this man, listen, this man eventually became my friend. You're not going to win anyone that way. You're not going to win anyone that way. What did the apostle say here? Look at it, Galatians 6, verse 1. He said, brethren, if any be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, what? In the spirit of meekness. You've got to be kind and gentle. They're hurting. Well, I tell you, I'm not much on animals, but I know one thing. You better stay away from a wounded dog. You get a wounded dog cornered, and they're coming after you. Well, see, when people are wounded, they're apt to snap. They're apt to launch out at you. Approach them with love and gentleness, right? Is that what the Bible says?
Amen.
So, number one, you've got to be spiritual. You've got to care. You've got to have a concern for people. Number two, you've got to be gentle, right? Is that what the Scripture says? So, well, how do you get gentle? Well, if you go back in Galatians chapter 5, the Scripture will tell you how you get gentle. It's a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit. Right?
Amen.
Is that what the book says, brethren? Yeah. I hope somebody gets to help somebody around the Christmas table, or maybe when you're off in a room, or maybe God will allow you to slip outside of your family gathering with someone who you've watched maybe just stray and get away from God, and God will use you to reach out to them in the spirit of meekness and gentleness and kindness and say, I've thought about you and I've prayed for you. What can I do to help you find your way back to God? I want to help you, brother. I want to help your family. What can I do to help you? Amen. I sure am thankful that in the times that I've been discouraged or that I needed encouragement, that God sent a good Samaritan by my way and just ministered to me and encouraged me and helped me. See, brethren, that's what we need, because we all get discouraged sometimes. Yeah, I never get discouraged, preacher. Yes, you do. Quit fooling yourself. Everybody gets discouraged. Everybody loses their way. You might not lose your way all the way, but everybody loses their way. Everybody gets off track, and we need people to help. That's why God has called us into this corporate body of the church, this gathering place, so that we could exhort one another, and we could consider one another, and we could provoke one another to love and to good works. Isn't that what the Scripture teaches? Amen. Like I said, I understand now this doesn't interest you Pharisees at all. I get that. I get it. Doesn't interest you at all. I know. But for those spiritual folks that want to do something for Jesus and want to help some people, I pray this will help you some. I really do. You which are spiritual, restore. How do you restore? It means reset. That's what it means. Look at the word there. Galatians 6, verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. It's like a broken bone. It means reset. That can be painful. The picture here is of a broken bone. Somebody's got to reset that bone. I don't think this is, Mariah's not in here. I started to say, I don't think this would embarrass her, but she's not in here, so I can tell it. Mariah's knee used to pop out of place. I'm telling you right now. Man, she is screams so loud it shake the chandeliers. Her knee would pop out of place. Somebody got to pop her knee back into place. The whole family would sit around. You know, everybody standing around, look, you know, look, Mariah's screaming, her knee's out of place. Right? You ever had a situation like that happen where something, I mean, like really terrible happens, and everybody's just kind of looking around like, wow, that's awesome, man. I mean, you know, her knee is out of place. She's screaming for real. She's really in pain. Well, somebody's got to step up and do the hard thing. Yeah. Right? That's the picture here, brethren. I challenge you to go home and look at this. To restore means to reset. Sometimes to be out of fellowship with God is like a broken bone. That's why verse number 2 says what? Bear you one another's burdens. Hey, when you're out of kilter, when you're out of fellowship with God, there's a heavy burden laid on you. And someone's got to do the hard thing. and go to that person and say, hey, listen, I see what's going on, or I know what's going on, and we need to talk. I sure am glad that Nathan went to David.
Amen.
I sure am glad old Jethro helped Moses. Amen? Aren't you glad for a man like Barnabas? Old John Mark said, I quit. I'm discouraged with this. I don't ever want to go back. I'm done. Barnabas said, oh, no, you're not. Not as long as I'm around. You come on, man. I'm taking you under my wing, and I'm restoring you back to fellowship with God, and I'm restoring you back to profitability for the ministry. And old Paul later had to say, bring Mark with thee, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry. It takes work. It takes prayer. It's hard. It's not easy. If somebody has to do the hard thing, the tough thing, but thank God, that's what spiritual Christians do. I pray to God that's what you'll do. Help somebody. Help them. Restore them. Maybe somebody's sitting close to you in church. I don't know. Like I said, this is not about people that are out of church only. Okay? Now, I realize that'll come. That will come. I've seen it. Listen, I've been doing it for 35 years. And before long now, they'll end up outside the church. They're already outside in here. They don't follow alone. It doesn't interest them. It's just, you know, same old, same old. They don't get excited about church. They don't get excited about worship. They don't get excited, you know, about anything but what they're personally involved in. And then before long, they start sliding back. Before you know it, they'll miss a service here and then miss a service there, and then they'll be out of church. But that doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we don't want to help them. We want to restore them. Right?
Amen.
Number one, you got to go after them. Number two, you got to do the hard thing. You've got to restore. You've got to reset. You've got to confront. Number three, as you do that, the Bible clearly says, do it in the spirit of meekness. And then finally for tonight, last thing, considering thyself. So as you do it gently, but do it humbly. Remember, that could be you. Is that what the man's saying? That's what Paul's saying here, brethren. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Could be you. And as you go after him, remember, you're not above it. Right? So beware as you're helping restore people. That's what he's teaching. Let's get involved in this ministry of helping people. So, well, preacher, I want to go after sinners. Well, let's keep going after sinners now. We never quit going after sinners. We never quit going after sinners. But I believe there's some saints that all of us know. Actually, probably if we took out a piece of paper when we got home tonight and on one side wrote down all the sinners that we know, people who need to be saved and people that we need to be ministering to and reaching out to, and we need to be getting them reconciled to God. They need to get saved. Write them down, start praying for them, and then start trying to reach them. But on the back side of that piece of paper, why don't you write down Christians that you know that at one time was in church serving God? They were faithful. Listen, they came to every church service. They served in the church. They tithed. They went soul winning. They gave to missions. They were just serving God. But now they've grown indifferent. And things are different. And they just need some encouragement. And they need the ministry of a spiritual Christian. Would you be that Christian to them? Would you? Won't you write their name down and ask God, God, what would you help have me to do? You know, if we started doing that, we'd probably have to bring more chairs, sit people up here, standing room only. There's a pile of Christians that used to be in church, that used to serve God, that used to be on fire, and the list could go on. Let's stand up, please.